You have a Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 21 today. Acts chapter 21. You'll continue to follow Paul. See where this journey will take him next. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 21 in the book of Acts. And when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed in Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." And after these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. Yes, indeed. So Paul is now pressed, has been for weeks and weeks and weeks, to get back to Jerusalem, and he finally arrives. The questions that I want to consider today, as we look at this, I guess the big, broad question is one of, what is life in the Spirit? We talked so much, and we've been talking so much through this book of Acts, of the Spirit's working in spectacular ways, in small ways. But throughout Scripture, there is this theme of the Spirit and life in the Spirit. And in our modern sensibilities, in our modern times, we have to consider, what does that mean? How do we experience Spirit life? Because as Christians, we must experience Spirit life. Or, well, we're not a Christian. To be a Christian is to have the Spirit. To have the Spirit is to be a Christian. That's what it's about. And here we come across some interesting, really fascinating applications of life in the Spirit. How does God use these broken vessels that is us in fulfilling his plan? How does the Spirit help us who are imperfect and failing and stumbling sometimes? What does a Spirit-filled community look like? How does it function? What kind of things happen in this life of the Spirit? And I think it comes across today in 2 ways that I want to focus in on. One is life in the Spirit, the community of the Spirit, plays out and really shows the importance and the prominence of those who are, I guess, marginalized, would be considered marginal in the normal society of things. I think you'll see what I mean in a moment. And secondly, life in the Spirit, a community of the Spirit, is one of community discernment. Community discernment together. That's what I'll look at today. Okay? So my first point of thinking about this idea of life in the Spirit shows and develops, sprouts, emphasizes it, the prominence of those who are marginalized. Now, you're wondering, where in the world is that? It's one little thing, and it's fascinating. And it's a detail that Luke gives us that is, I think, important. He mentions he goes to Philip's house, and then just in passing, he says, oh yeah, by the way, he has four daughters, and they prophesy. Okay, and then we keep on reading, right? Because Paul's got stuff going on. Don't miss that. Do not miss that. It is absolutely incredible, especially in this time here. And we've seen it over and over again in the book of Acts, the elevation of women in this society, because in this culture, in this society, women were at the margins. Okay? They were. You read this Jewish literature that just, if someone wrote that today, they would be canceled in a second. You know, thank God I was not born a woman. And they were pushed to the margins. They had their roles, but they were secondary in every way. It is Christianity with this message of grace and equality. There is no male nor female Jew or Greek, right? There's a truth there. I read a quote this week, and I was trying to find it, and I couldn't. I'm so annoyed by it. But the essence of it was this, an author who wrote stuff. I'm not even sure what exactly. But he had a quote in that. He's an atheist. And he said, the thing that benefited this world more than anything was Christianity. Before Christianity, women could be just raped, set aside, beaten. And Christianity changed that. Christianity told men to, hey, control yourselves. It's not okay to do whatever you want. It's not about you. It's about mutuality. Christianity lifted up women and said, you're equal. You are important to God. In fact, you're important in the work of God. In God's kingdom, men and women both are working together to do his work. It's amazing. Now, of course, we look through this. There's roles. There's all kinds of things we can talk about. But do not miss how important this is. These women were prophesying. They were speaking God's word. That is significant. And throughout, we've seen it so much throughout the book of Acts. I mean, we look at back in chapter 1 of the many disciples who were gathered together before Pentecost, many of them who were women. They were included. We saw how important it was in chapter 6 when the widows were not being taken care of, especially the Greek ones, and how they said, no, this is not right. We cannot ignore these women. We have to take care of them. We saw the example of goodness in Dorcas, if you remember that in chapter 9. In chapter 18, just a little bit ago, we saw how Lydia, you know, supported and helped the disciples in Philippi. And just a little bit ago, too, we saw prominently the work of Priscilla, along with her husband, not only in helping the disciples, but then in also teaching and spreading God's word. A woman, marginalized. And that has been the pattern from the beginning. Jesus always sought after and brought in those who were on the outside, who the world would look upon and say, no, they aren't going to work. The poor, the diseased, the lame, the sick, the blind. And he said, no, this is my people. And so life in the Spirit is a life that broadens and brings those who are out and brings them in. People that maybe we wouldn't see. And you know, those of us who God has blessed in, you know, our jobs and homes, and we often can forget how important those who are not the normal in society are, but in God's eyes, they are prominent, they are important, and God will use them and does use them. So life in the Spirit, Spirit life, community life in the Spirit is one that looks to the margins and brings them in as a vibrant part of the community. Okay. I just thought that was important, and I want to make sure it was said. But secondly, we see this odd seeming conflict going on here. Okay? Now, I hope you caught it. Because secondly, the life of the Spirit, the community of the Spirit, is a discerning life together. So Paul has been told by the Spirit, you're going to Jerusalem. He's compelled. You know, if Ephesus, the people of Ephesus said, no, please stay, please stay. Paul says, no, I got to go. People in Corinth, no, come on, you got to stay longer, help us. No, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to go. And so he's marching on. A couple of detours along the way, but he was compelled to go. But then we see, when he arrives, the disciples are saying, don't go to Jerusalem. And it said, by the Spirit. Did you catch that? They told him, by the Spirit, do not go to Jerusalem. So, the Spirit told Paul, go to Jerusalem. The Spirit told these disciples, don't go to Jerusalem. What in the world? What are we going to do with that? And I think the message that Acts is giving us here, the Lord gives us here, is that, again, the spirit life is a community life, and in community we discern God's will together. That is what happens here. Because there's basically two issues going on here, all right? In this arena of prophecy, again, how we work that today and those sorts of things is kind of, we've been talking about that throughout once in a while, but in our life together, as we make decisions, as we seek God's will, we try to hear his voice, two things can happen. One, the prophecy or the word we're hearing from God could be wrong, right? Could be wrong, or it could be correct but misinterpreted. And the piece that makes those things happen is people. It's us. We are not yet perfect. Our minds are not yet perfect. Our thoughts, our thinkings are not yet perfect. We can be selfish. We can be undiscerning. And we may think we hear something, maybe it's not. Or we hear something properly, but we interpret improperly. That's why it's so important, and with Paul here too, that in these sorts of things, of decisions, of hearing God's voice, of determining his will, that we look to each other to discern in the spirit. That is what we want to do. And it happens in community, and it happens in an intentional spirit life. So in community, how do we see this? If you want to look at your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's two places here, probably more, but that Paul particularly talks about this issue and his thinking in that. So chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians, he's talking, you know, so if you, you know, of course, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is the love chapter, right? All right, so you have that. And then right after that, he goes into all this talk about tongues and, you know, all these sorts of things, right? And so in verse 29, he's talking about all these things in the spirit and gifts and all that stuff. In verse 29, he says this. He's talking about tongues, okay? So, and he says, let two or three prophets speak. Okay, two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. Okay, so that's what it's about here. Let the prophets speak, but then everyone else weigh it out. Is this right? Do we feel together that this is a word from the Lord? Because maybe it wasn't. Paul is saying, they said, hey, make sure, folks. You know, and then together maybe say, you know, maybe not. Or, yes, I think that's good, but maybe it's this way. You see what I mean? It's a together thing. Look here again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 20 and 21. All right? Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. See, so I think it's clear in Paul's mind that these things should be happening, this life in the Spirit. If we have the Spirit and God is going to speak to us in these ways, that there is prophets, there is prophecy, those sorts of things, that there's an understanding that we're still broken people, that we still need each other to have checks and balances so that we're not abusing these sorts of things. And that's the big issue here too, isn't it? Because people who are in power or have an influence of others may say something, the Lord told me. And then what do you say to that? Right? No. And then they say, well, you can't. See, I mean, you know, I always talk about this, you know, happens in Bible colleges all the time, right? Guy meets girl. Guy really, really likes girl. They go on a date. They've known each other 2 days. He goes up to her and says, I feel the Lord is saying we should be married. What do you say to that? Right? Well, here's what you say, girls. Here's what you say. Well, when the Lord tells me, I'll let you know. Right? See, it's community. It's together. It has to be both, right? But this can be so abused. And you see it in churches, church leaders who say, thus saith the Lord. And if you don't agree with it, then you're disobeying the Lord. That's not community. That's abuse of power. That's why it's important. Together. Spirit life is together life. It has to be. Because we are not perfect yet. My mind is still not all right. You all knew that. Right? We need each other in this. We desperately need each other in these things. And so life in the Spirit is a discerning life, and it is discerning life in community. It's together. And that's what we're seeing here with Paul. You know, right? So he has this determination. These other folks are hearing, again, from the Spirit, you shouldn't go. This prophet Agabus comes up and says, hey, guess what? This is going to happen, whose belt this is. So what's going on here? Well, is it a prohibition saying, do not go to Jerusalem? Or is it just a warning? Maybe it's just a warning. And that, again, that's the function of together. So Paul in his heart says, no, guys, I really don't think so. And in the end, the community says, okay, let the Lord's will be done. It's fascinating that, you know, Luke in his writing says we. So I think Luke was then on board here saying, Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You really, really shouldn't. And Paul's saying, nope, got to go. But again, in the spirit, together, they determine these things. And that's what they want to do. They tested the spirits. All right? And secondly, I want to make sure that we understand that this life, community, spirit together is an intentional spirit life. Right? Here we go. Romans 8 tells us, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The spirit life is a intentional, I'm not going to think this, I'm going to think this. I'm not going to go down this path, I'm going to go down this path. All right? It's intentional. Spirit life is intentional. There are folks who say, yes, I'm just going to let the Spirit carry me wherever he goes. Ooh. No, we have to say, no, I am going to be Spirit led. And how do we do that? Well, God's Word. We get in our hearts, we think about it, we meditate it, we come together as often as we can, like this, intentionally, to allow God's Spirit to speak to us together. There is a danger of the fleshly thinking. Because there may be worldly wisdom that would say, you know, tells Paul, again, worldly wisdom would say, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. That's stupid. They're going to kill you? Again, that's the world. But sometimes the road of comfort is not the path that God has for us. In fact, often, folks, I'm sorry to say, it often is not the path of comfort. The way of the cross is the way of sacrifice. God's call to us through Jesus is to emulate him and his example, and his was the example of suffering. And so I think many times the path of the Spirit is that path of the cross and the path of suffering. And Paul embraced it. He said, they could kill me, and I'll gladly do it. Now, we've seen Paul detour sometimes. There were times when he knew that there's bad guys waiting for him, and he said, let's go around this way, okay? So there is a wisdom together that the Spirit, but we have to be sensitive together to understand those things and not set our mind on the things of the flesh, but set our minds on the things of the Spirit. That is the direction that God has for us. That is the life of the Spirit. That is how we should go. And so, again, we see it here with Paul, and I just found it so fascinating. That it held, these things are in tension, and they're not contradicting each other. One wasn't right and one was wrong. We have the same Spirit. It's just that in God's putting the Spirit into us, it can get jumbled up. You know, our circuits may not be completely pure. And so that's why we need each other, to put all the pieces together. You know, and that can be from our experiences in life. It could be just simply God showing one person a particular thing that we didn't see. How one person may have a perspective that is not mine. That's why, again, the marginalized are so important. Those people who we maybe consider on the edges, they have a perspective that we don't have. And they, by the Spirit, they can put pieces in that and make connections that we don't connect. As just a fairly normal white male, guess what? Having a woman around to curb my thoughts sometimes is a great thing. My wife has saved me from many a foolish thing, and I've barreled through into many a foolish thing in spite of her, and hopefully I'm trying to learn, right? But that's why we need each other. That's why men's perspective is important. Women's are important. And one isn't better than the other at all. We need each other in all these things. Young people, you are important. If God's Spirit is in you, then we need you. It's not just that, you know, you're kind of along for the ride and, you know, at some magic number, 18, 21, done with college, married, whatever. No, there is no magic number. If God is in you, then you are important. And God will use you. Children, you know, are often thought of as marginalized. Wait till they come, they'll grow up and they'll get it. No, we need them. We need you. You are important. And in fact, God often chooses to use those who are less important to glorify him more. So if we're smart, we'll listen to you more than maybe we do. And I'm sorry if I have ever not listened when I should have. Okay? To anyone who would be in a category of outside in any way, forgive me, because we need each other. That is life in the Spirit. And so my prayer, I hope that as we think about this now together, to have this mindset, right? we come together, we have an annual meeting or business meeting, whatever, to be spirit together, men, women, young people together, thinking these things through, be it, you know, what are we going to do for a ministry outreach, or what are we going to do for spending money on lights or sidewalks or whatever, right? God together, and we all have a part to play. It's community and it's discernment together in the Lord. And so that is our desire to apply this in our lives today. Amen. It's good to be together. Again, thank you so much for those who helped with Paul this weekend. And so as we go this week in the Spirit, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you peace in your comings and your goings in the Spirit this week. Amen.